Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I want to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio. And yes, I survived the apocalypse this morning. And I'm joined by my co-host, Couture. What's going on, Couture? Okay, you're getting a little better at this, I'll give you that. We got our other co-host on the line, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
You can get with this, or you can get with that. Hey, it's Craig. What's up?
Cool, guys. Well, I don't know about you guys, but all I know is that last night was a frozen hell for us here in San Antonio, and we got a whole, like, half centimeter of snow last night, and I know people are probably laughing about it, but the city just shut down, and unfortunately, my job requires me to drive at night, so I had to go out on the streets that were covered with ice in a car with no tires or chains, and somehow I was able to maneuver around, deliver every single one of my papers, and somehow still made it home alive.
Yeah, this is our second big snowfall last night of the week, so here in Dallas.
How much have y'all gotten, Couture?
I don't know. A lot.
Are you guys getting it right now, Craig? Or are you just getting cold weather?
It's raining. It's like 45 out. It's nice.
It got so bad the other day that so many people were using their power for heat that they did rolling blackouts through the whole city, where they shut down, like, one part of the city's power for, like, an hour and then turn it back on and shut down another part of the city. So had to deal with that the other day, too.
Yeah, that happened for a couple hours here yesterday. Luckily, they didn't do it to my neighborhood, thank God, but a lot of people were talking about that on Facebook. But, we're not used to that kind of cold weather down here. I'm sure people are laughing at us, but I'd like to see y'all come down here in the summer when it's 105 and humidity is like 80%.
Nope, ain't going to do it. It's the coldest. But, it hasn't been this cold in Dallas in like 15 years.
Should make for an interesting Super Bowl.
I wouldn't know. Is that this weekend?
That is this weekend.
Speaking of the Super Bowl, the last time that it snowed here in San Antonio was when the Chicago Bears and the refrigerator won the Super Bowl. So that's probably like over 25 years ago. So it's been a while since we've seen the stuff. But anyway, let's get on to the Royal Rumble. Me and Couture pretty much caught the match live, and I thought it was a fantastic Royal Rumble. I won't say it was the best Royal Rumble, but they told some good stories. I liked the parts with the Nexus taking the control, and then Cena and Hornswoggle taking control. And then I got to say, you know, nothing will ever beat the last 10 minutes of Shawn Undertaker, but as far as the last fucking 15 seconds, this was the greatest ending to a Royal Rumble ever. I was marking out like a little bitch screaming about the Cobra because I thought I called it right the week before. And but unfortunately, the Cobra failed, and Alberto Del Rio won the Royal Rumble. So what do you think about it, Craig?
The two single matches were very good. The two championship matches, I thought I thought Miz and Orton was okay. I thought Ziggler and Edge was really, really good. I put it in the 4-star range. It was that good.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. I really enjoyed it, and I was actually joined by your good buddy Supersonic for the Royal Rumble, and even Supersonic agreed that was a good match. So, you know, he doesn't give high praise very much. So I was actually surprised, but yeah, that was a great match. I really enjoyed that one, and I enjoyed Miz and Randy. I thought it was good. Wasn't as good as the Edge match, but the next match was any match where Layla's got her titties and ass bouncing around is 5 stars in my book. So I'm sure you guys feel the same way.
Anyway, the Rumble itself was fun. I was at Vinny's actually. We were barbecuing some meat and whatnot, and it was a good time had by all. But the Rumble itself showed a few things. Number one, that Booker T and Diesel in 2011 are still over. I guess Kevin Nash isn't over, but Diesel is over. So that was surprising to me. I also, when they did the spots to get the fans involved, i.e. John Cena and Kofi Kingston, you could have heard a pin drop in that arena. And they tried to do it again with Orton and Cena, and I'm pretty sure I heard a smattering of boos when that happened, because nobody wants to see that match again. The last 5 minutes, Ed, I have to disagree with you. I thought that was, I don't think it was horrible, but I don't think it was great. The part when Santino came back from underneath the ring, that was cool. Nobody saw him as winning in the house that I was in, but the fans did buy it as a finish, and great comedy, great end when Del Rio actually dumped Santino, and I'm looking forward to Edge and Del Rio. I hope it, anything can change in the next month, and I guess we'll find out who will be facing the Miz with the Elimination Chamber next month, and hopefully Miz will still have the title and it won't be Jerry Lawler. But, hey, if it is Jerry Lawler, awesome.
I would not be offended to Jerry Lawler title reign.
No, I would not be one bit offended by that.
I mean, Jerry Lawler and John Cena could have a hell of a match. Jesus Christ, but I saw fucking Jerry Lawler have a match with Bruiser Bob Sweetsen, where in 20 minutes they took one bump, and the place went apeshit. And Dave Meltzer calls it the worst match ever, but yet again, like I say, the crowd went apeshit for it. So could you imagine what Lawler and Cena could do? I mean, especially if that many people at WrestleMania. I mean, match quality and work-wise might not be great, but the two guys will have to have so much control over that crowd. Who would give a shit about work rate? I mean, it'll be that awesome.
Well, I think we're going to see Jerry Lawler against maybe Michael Cole or Alex Riley at WrestleMania this year.
I can see Riley, definitely. And hopefully as Dave stated, that hopefully that Lawler will get a few minutes alone in the ring with Michael Cole if he pulls out a victory. And hopefully that will send Alex Riley back to Florida Championship Wrestling, because I'm really tired of seeing that dude.
I think he does all right as the Miz's little henchman. But what I'm kind of hoping for, and with no one's actually kind of, I haven't really heard anyone bring this up, is obviously this is going to be one of the first matches on WrestleMania. So let's say in the second and third match, Michael Cole gets his ass kicked. Who's calling the rest of WrestleMania? Please tell me it's not there. Tell me it ain't there at all in the future. Yeah, I was about to say that. It'd be a great way to have JR come out and call the rest of the show, and then that would guarantee that even though I'm watching it live, I'm buying the replay when I get home.
I think I need to get rid of that fucking teacher. He's awful.
He's pretty bad. I ain't going to lie. He's pretty bad.
Yeah,
he's got Booker T now on SmackDown. So
I forgot to watch it today, but I'm hoping that Booker does a pretty good job. I mean,
I caught the first few minutes. He came out to a huge ovation, grabbed a child sign that says, "I can dig it," and got in the ring, did a spinneroony, and I had to shut it off.
that was awesome. I mean, that crowd did go crazy for him, and he looked pretty good. I mean, he looked a couple pounds heavier, but I mean, not fat or anything, just a little hefty.
I think
his
stock has gone up for this past week. His stock has gone up for like no reason whatsoever. Is Sting. Everybody thinks he's coming for some reason.
Well, that fake, we'll get into this later on with Dave Lagana, who's going to be on the show. But the fake poster that came out this week really
hyped up. The same holding the card up?
That's the one.
Yeah, that was
and,
awesome.
And WWE ought to take a look and maybe even try to throw him a pitch that way, honestly.
Yeah. I'd like to see him in the ring at least once, in WWE ring at least.
Would be something different, and they don't have anything different right now.
And then throw him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, make the Hall of Fame a big, you know, they usually have two good ones, so, I mean, there's your second one right there. And then after that, then it doesn't matter who you put in the Hall of Fame. You can get away with putting a bunch of jabronis that, you know, Vince just likes for personal reasons or whatever. You know what I mean? Everyone will be more than happy. As long as it's just Sean, you know, Sean and Sting. So that'll be cool. But if you want to talk about any more notes about the Rumble while I call our guest here, why don't you go ahead, Frank?
Sure thing. I was really impressed with whoever brought that poster out. It looked legit.
Yeah, it looked awesome.
It really did. I marked out for a minute, and I'm like, wait a minute. And
it's the same kid that did the Sting Generico thing.
That would be awesome. No, I could totally see them making a play for Sting. I mean, you saw what they did to TNA this week by just hiring those two dudes. And,
yeah, just the amount of, you know, his name's been out there so much this week. I mean, he could go in and, like, up his price if he really wanted to.
Absolutely. Absolutely, he could. It's something they should really ponder because I think it would draw a big buy for them.
Nothing set my world on fire with Mania this year so far.
Yeah, they need that big match, as Dave wrote in his blog this week. Dave will be on, by the way, about 10 to the hour, 10 to 7 here.
Hey Craig, I don't mean to interrupt you, but why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest today?
Our guest tonight made his debut for CZW in June of 2008, and has since gone on to work for Evolve, Dragon Gate USA, and a handful of other indie promotions. In 2010, it was a great year for this guy, as he signed a contract with Ring of Honor and also won the prestigious Wrestling Observer Rookie of the Year. Please welcome to the show, Adam Cole.
Hey guys, thanks a lot for having me.
Thanks for being on, man. How are you?
I'm great. Doing really well. Really, really, really busy, but it's a good thing to be busy in pro wrestling. I couldn't be happier right now. How about you guys?
Doing fine. Do you have any snow in your area?
No snow yet. We're supposed to get some here at midnight, but the last time that we were threatened with a snowstorm, we didn't get much of anything, so I'm hoping the same thing happens for the weekend. So I don't mind snow so much during the week, but when it happens on a weekend, that's when I get a little concerned, because that's when most of my traveling is. So
that's driving weather. That's no good.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Well,
why don't you start
Adam,
off?
We'll go ahead and start with the really big question, and that is, what are your thoughts on winning the like Craig said, the prestigious Wrestling Observer Rookie of the Year award?
People, I know this sounds so cliche, but people say it all the time. Sometimes there are things that are really special to you that you can't even put into words. And winning that award was one of those things for me, because the Wrestling Observer has been so respected for so many years amongst not only wrestling's fan base, but amongst guys in the industry. And to see some of the guys who have won Rookie of the Year and then other awards, clearly the Wrestling Observer is very careful as to who they choose and things like that. So for me to win the Rookie of the Year for 2010 was just a testament to me, showing me that all my hard work is really paying off, and I don't take a compliment like that award lightly. And I certainly am going to continue to work very, very hard, and hopefully this isn't the last award that I win for the Wrestling Observer.
Hopefully it doesn't end up like the Grammy, where they give the Best New Band Award and then you never hear from them again.
Exactly. Yeah, hopefully I'm not a one-hit wonder.
So, man,
Go ahead, Craig. I was going to say, why don't you tell us about who you admired growing up, how you got involved with training for pro wrestling? Were you a high school athlete, you know, so forth and so on?
Sure, yeah. I mean, I can go as far back as I was that kind of kid who my parents were pretty strict as far as what I was allowed to watch. They tried to, I don't want to say keep me in like a closet, but they wanted to make sure that I wasn't exposed to, like, they didn't like me watching MTV or anything like that. And I was always kind of curious about pro wrestling, but I never really showed a crazy interest in watching it, just because it wasn't really accessible to me. But one afternoon I was actually taking karate in elementary school, and I would always get there early, to practice and go over things with my instructor and, just, you know, work hard and just show him that I was really serious about it. And one day I arrived there pretty early, and he was running on the treadmill, and he was watching a tape from Monday Night Raw from the night before. And it was, I remember it clear as day, it was Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kane putting Paul Bearer in a sewer. And he was watching that, and I was interested in that just because I wanted to get closer to him. I looked at him as kind of like a father figure. And he said to me, "Oh, you watch the WWF?" And I said, "Oh yeah, all the time," like completely lying, but more just because I wanted to get close with him. And he said, "Well, if you're interested," he said, "I can let you borrow a tape of this year's WrestleMania. It's WrestleMania 15." And I said, "Yeah, that'd be great." But he goes, "Well, you need to get a note from your mom first, or from your parents." So then I got stressed out, and I was like, "Oh, there's no way I'm going to be able to get a note." But I went home to my mom, and I begged her. I said, "Mom, please, please, I just want to be close with him, and I really want to watch this, and it can't be that bad if he would suggest it." And eventually she caved, and I got to borrow WrestleMania 15, and I was just mesmerized by the whole thing. At this point, it was further than me just being close with my karate instructor. I watched The Rock and Steve Austin wrestle for the WWF title, and from that point on, I was hooked as a fan. But what made me actually want to be a pro wrestler was those two exact guys. It was Steve Austin and The Rock at WrestleMania 17. And I've said this before, but it's so true, is you hear people talk about getting goosebumps when they watch a movie or when they listen to music. And I had never experienced that before. I never knew what they were talking about. But when WrestleMania 17 happened and Stone Cold's music hit and 67,000 people erupted at the same time, I got goosebumps up and down my spine. And I said right then and there, I said, "I need to do this in my lifetime." So from that point on, I decided that pro wrestling was going to be the avenue that I was going to take.
How old were you at this time?
I was, when I decided I wanted to be a wrestler, I think I was 12 years old.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, but I had become a fan. I was a pretty diehard fan when I was like 10. But I had never even entered my mind that it was something that I could do. And even when I was 12 and I decided that I needed to do it, I had no real idea of how I was going to do it. But I said I was going to. I needed to do it. I needed to be Stone Cold, or I needed to just experience that. Like, I was that kid in high school that I shaved my head and wore wrestling shirts, like, every single day. So I wasn't very popular with the ladies in school. But I stuck to my wrestling guns and decided that it was what I wanted to do. And then it got to a point where I had, because I was such a diehard WWE fan, I kind of branched out to other things and started following the independents and stuff internationally, and I would go to independent shows. Like, I went to a lot of Ring of Honor shows, and then I started going to CCW shows. And when I went to CCW shows, I would always wait out back in the arena. There's a place where you can wait, where you can meet the wrestlers after the show. And I ran into DJ Hyde, and we had got to talking, and I said, yeah, you know, I really want to train to be a wrestler. And I was in high school at that point, but I had been waiting to start training after high school because I had a job, but I really wasn't making enough money to be able to pay for wrestling school and the travel and stuff like that. A lot of schools ran, you know, 3-4 times a week. And DJ was so lenient with me to where he said, well, how about you just come try out? He said, don't worry about money. It's once a week, and we'll see if we can work something out. So I was sold. So right then and there, it wasn't even a matter of considering where to go to school. It was, this school is pretty much telling me I can go here for no money up front, and I can just get to be in a wrestling ring potentially once a week. So that was my decision to go to CZW.
Now, CZW, you know, is mainly in the northeast, and I guess fans that don't actually go to all the CZWs, they probably have a picture that it's all hardcore. And could you just tell the people, explain to the people that aren't familiar with CZW, just tell them a little more about the company and the, you know, what they can expect if they watch a tape or go to a show?
Sure. Yeah, CZW is a company that is known for its ultraviolet wrestling. Just like many independents, that is CZW's niche, and that is kind of what made them famous and what brought a lot of attention to the company. But CZW, especially with DJ Hyde taking over, has kind of taken a new role to become a more well-rounded product. Not only are you going to find that ultraviolet wrestling, which they do better than any other company in the United States, but you'll see lots of great high flyers and lots of good technical wrestling. And it's just a good, well-rounded company that is looking to grow just like any other independent. But, yeah, as far as CZW goes, you won't find anything more exciting or more cutting edge or certainly nothing more ultra-violent as far as CZW goes. So it's just a great, fun, well-rounded company that really is going after that 18 to 35 male demographic. So if any young guys out there looking for a good time, CZW would definitely be a place to come check out.
You said that you were a bit sheltered as a kid, and parents were a little strict. And as we found out over the last probably 6 months, some of the guys in CZW aren't the model citizens, as you would say. And I'm sure that's like that in a lot of wrestling locker rooms. But
sure.
How was it from being that kind of a sheltered kid to being backstage in the CZW locker room?
It was different, and here that's the thing too is the CZW locker room is similar to a lot of other wrestling locker rooms. It's just a lot of guys who love pro wrestling and want to go out and put on the absolute best show that they can, and it's a lot of good guys too. And it's actually a really close knit locker room. I remember hearing all the time that John Zandig used to promote that CZW was a family. And I do believe that has carried through, even though Zandig isn't there anymore. CZW is a very close-knit family. But the cool thing about CZW is I've never been a huge drinker or a huge partier. I mean, I will go out and drink and things like that, but they're very accepting of that. It's not I never am pressured to do anything I don't want to do. I've never been pressured to do a death match. I've never been pressured to partake in any crazy partying. They've always accepted me for who I was because I'm a CZW guy. So it wasn't that wild for me, because the funny thing was I never even looked at it that way. I was just so mesmerized to be in a wrestling locker room that getting to see what all the guys partaked in and all who all the guys were as people, I was just so amazed and so happy to be there that I almost didn't even look at it as, oh my gosh, these guys do this or these guys do that. And that's not even to say that they're bad people, or that the guys are crazy partiers who do drugs and are terrible people, because that is not the case with 99% of the guys. So no, to me, it was just like, it was like having another group of brothers who I could be close with, and all of us are very passionate about pro wrestling, so we all connected fairly quickly.
Now, early in your career, you were in a tag team, and I'm not actually sure how to say that, your partner's name, Tyler.
Veritas.
Yes. Could you talk about that team and some of the? I know you wrestled the Spanish announce team and a few other teams. Could you talk about that time?
Sure. Well, the thing is that CZW put over the story for me and Tyler, as me and Tyler have been best friends since childhood, and that is completely 100% true. Since the third grade, me and Tyler have been absolute best friends. And we grew up together as wrestling fans, and we always talked about wanting to be wrestlers together someday. And when it came time to graduate, I was still very passionate about wanting to be a wrestler, and I really wanted him to go on the journey with me, and he was all for it. So we trained together at the school. We drove together everywhere, and me and him are like brothers. So getting to break in with my best friend was something really cool, because not only was it getting to do something that you love with your best friend, but it kind of takes the nerves off a little bit, because we were both so intimidated about the entire process. But when you have your buddy there that you can do it with, you have him to talk to when you're upset about something, or you have him to talk to when you're excited about something. So it was really cool to be able to start off in CZW together. Like, we debuted together against each other in CZW at the Chris Cash Memorial Show in September of 08 for CZW. And that was really, really neat, just to wrestle in that building that has so much history, and our family and friends were there. And it was just cool, too, because getting to do something that a lot of kids in high school would sit and say, oh, you talk about wanting to be a wrestler, but you'll never get to do it. And then some of them coming and some of them saying, oh, wow, I can't believe you guys are finally doing it. And we got to share that moment together. And then being a tag team was even better, because we had a lot of chemistry, obviously, because we're best friends. But it was a lot of fun. It was really, really cool.
In early 2010, as you were working for CZW, you got to work a string of matches with Chris Sabin. And why that young man isn't signed to a WWE contract right now, I have really no idea. But tell us your thoughts about working a program with Sabin.
With Sabian?
Yes.
You mean?
Sorry.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was awesome. I've said this before too, and this is completely true. Sabian is a guy who taught me quite a bit as far as wrestling goes. He wasn't like my official trainer, but he was someone who took a lot of time with me to show me the ropes. And anytime I had a question about anything, I could call him at like 1 a.m. and be like, hey, I got a question about this. Can you explain it to me? Or if I would be in a rut and I didn't know what to do about a certain situation, he would always help me out. And he guided me through a lot of different things and taught me a lot about the wrestling business that guys don't necessarily feel the need to do with the younger talent. But Sabian has always been that way with me and a lot of the younger guys. And Sabian was actually one of the main guys that made me even want to go to CZW, because he was a guy that I watched and wanted to emulate and wanted to be like. And yeah, he again is someone who was, you hit the nail on the head. He is so talented. And why he doesn't have a contract, I have no idea. And I think this year for him will be a breakout year for him for sure, because he is super, super underrated and has helped me tremendously throughout my career.
And now we were talking about CZW, and I have to ask you this question, because CZW has actually been making some headlines and some news today. What are your thoughts on the big dance-off skit that's been all over the place, including Around the Horn and on the main page of America Online?
Oh, I think it's so awesome. because I think the Assyrian portal has been doing that skit for years now, and it deserves the kind of attention that it's getting. And Joe Gacy and Ryan Slater are also two tremendous talents in CZW, guys that me and Tyler came up with in CZW, and they're so good. So it's so neat for me to see that something like that is getting so much attention because it completely deserves it. And as a matter of fact, I think it should have been getting this attention earlier because they've been doing some hilarious, like, just great, great stuff. The Assyrian Portal and The Runaways, Joe Gacy and Ryan Slater, like I said, definitely deserve the attention. And I wish I was there. I had Ring of Honor that day, and I heard about it from those guys saying, oh, yeah, it went over great. It was a really good time. And I wanted to be there live to see it so bad. But I guess them getting over 300,000 hits and the video blowing up like it has is the next best thing.
Now, also, speaking of skits, one of our listeners wanted me to ask this question, and I had no idea about this until I just saw the question. He said that you were in the skit with Serena on SmackDown a few months ago, where she, I guess, it's the one where she was getting drunk in the bar?
Yes, that was me.
How did you land that gig? How did that come about?
Yeah, that's kind of a crazy story, too. Going back to, I had been sending, at this point, I'd been sending WWE quite a bit of emails, just trying to get an opportunity as far as getting looked at or booked for a dark match or anything, pretty much, booked for TVs just to be an extra, which is what I ended up doing. But I had been emailing Ty Bailey, who is the head of FCW Talent Relations down in Florida. And I was coming home from a show in Florida, and I got home, and I was getting ready to go to bed, but I thought, what the heck, I'll just check my emails really quick. And I checked my emails, and in my email was an email from Ty Bailey. And I opened it up, and it said, hey, Austin, sorry I missed your emails and phone calls, but I want you to come down to FCW for a week to try out. And I was elated. I was just absolutely ecstatic. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that I'm getting an opportunity like this. And I called him and I talked to him on the phone. And he had said, yeah, we're going to fly you down. We're going to set you up in a hotel. And, we're really interested and all these things that was just absolutely blowing my mind because this came out of left field. And then he sent me my flight itinerary and my hotel itinerary. And long story short, it was the wrong name on the itinerary. So I had sent Ty Bailey another email, this time attached with a picture of myself saying, hey, am I the guy you're looking for? Because all this information is wrong. And he said, no, we got the wrong guy. This is a mistake. So I went from being on cloud nine to just feeling like absolute crap. But to that point, though, he said that he liked my look and he wanted to book me on a set of TVs in Philadelphia and Wilkes-Barre. And I don't know if he really liked my look or if it was just out of pity, but I'll take the he liked my look answer. So I got booked for Raw and SmackDown, Raw in Philadelphia and SmackDown in Wilkes-Barre, and got nothing at Raw, did a lot of sitting around and eating great food. And then Tuesday, SmackDown came around, and they needed some slimy guy to pick up Serena in a bar, and I was that guy. So it was a lot of fun. It was a really, really good experience getting to see WWE from behind the scenes like that. And when people say all the time that it's, like, bigger than life, it's just crazy how many people are running around and all the work that goes into that, it's so true. You can't even put it into words. That entire process they do each and every week, it's just mind-boggling. But it was really, really cool, and I would love to go back and do it again sometime because I had a blast.
Now, did any of the superstars go out of their way to give you advice or talk to you or any of the other guys that were there for the show?
There weren't too many guys. SmackDown was a lot more laid back and a lot easier to talk to people because it wasn't live. Like Raw, it was like a whole other animal. Like it was like everyone drank 2 5-hour energies and had 6 cups of coffee and is like running around like it's the biggest deal ever. Like, oh my gosh, we need to get this done, we need to get that done. And I get that. That makes sense to me because it's, you know, live television on USA Network. And SmackDown was much more laid back. But no, there were a few guys. Like, to me, actually, the biggest and most disheartening thing, and I don't want to speak for these guys because I don't know what was going on in their heads, and they might have had a bunch of different people talking to them. But when we were out at ringside, you had guys like Arn Anderson and Dean Malenko and William Regal and Goldust trying to give these guys advice, like going out of their way to give these NXT guys input. And it was like they weren't having any of it. Like they had their own stuff to worry about. And you could just see the look, particularly on William Regal's face. Like he was so disappointed that these guys weren't taking the interest to get the help that they needed from guys like Regal and guys like Malenko and guys like Anderson. So I got to talk to like Regal and stuff for a very brief time, but they were clearly just frustrated that they're offering all this help, and the NXT guys seem too busy worrying about what they're going to eat next or talking to this guy or talking to that guy. And that was frustrating. But like I said, I don't know what was going through their heads and what they did have to answer to and whatnot. But that was kind of frustrating. But for the most part, everyone was really cool. Everyone was really, really cordial and everything. So
in late 2009 and in 2010, you got to work for Gabe Sapolsky for Evolve and also Dragon Gate. How'd you get hooked up with Gabe?
Yeah, again, it was someone who spoke up for me, actually. B-Boy had been talking to Gabe, and Gabe wanted to bring in a guy by the name of Kyle O'Reilly, who is Davey Richards' protege, now my tag partner in Ring of Honor. And they needed an opponent on the pre-show for Kyle O'Reilly. It was kind of – it wasn't – I don't want to say a showcase for Kyle, but it was someone – Gabe just wanted somebody who he thought could have a good match with Kyle. And he was racking his brain as far as trying to come up with somebody. And Gabe actually was at the CZW show, I think it was that month. And he saw me and Rich Swann wrestle, and he came up to us and said he really liked it, was really impressed. So that was a cool sign from the start. And then about a week later, I got a call from B-Boy at like 2 in the morning saying, hey, Gabe is interested in using you at the Dragon Gate pre-show in Philly against this guy named Kyle O'Reilly. Are you interested? And I was, of course, absolutely interested. Yeah, that was kind of how that came about, and I got to the building, and Kyle got there, and we asked Gabe what he wanted, and he said, you guys have 6 minutes, and show me why I should bring you back. So we went out and did a bunch of stuff, and yeah, Gabe seemed to like it, and the rest was history.
Now, speaking of, you also did some work with Chikara. You were in the Young Lions tournament. Could you talk about that and your the experience of working with Chikara?
Sure. I had been wanting to work for Chikara for a while because that was actually before CZW at that point. I had met Mike Quackenbush when I was just a fan, and I was seriously considering going to Chikara. And I've been a big fan of that company, and it's so well-respected by guys within the industry, and it's just blowing up. Like, it continues to grow and grow and grow, and I can't wait to see where the company is going to be in a couple years because Mike Quackenbush in that locker room has done so much with that product. It's really, really cool to watch, and Chikara really is something special. So it was absolutely something that I wanted to be a part of. And yeah, Mike gave me the call and said he was interested in using me at the Young Lions Cup, and then I found out I was wrestling Kyle, so I was really excited because I'd been wanting to wrestle Kyle again since we had our match at Dragon Gate. And to be honest, I prefer the Chikara match because we had so much more time. We went like 18 minutes or something like that as opposed to the 6 minutes that we got to go at Chikara. So we really got to build something special and
that your car crowd was just outstanding. So yeah, that was really, really cool experience, and I would love to go back to Chikara for sure.
Now, one of our listeners wanted me to ask you about your valet, and I'm currently looking at a picture of her on Google, and all I got to say is, holy shit, man. What can you tell us about her?
Yeah, Mia Yim is an extremely, extremely talented and very, very good-looking women's wrestler on the independents, and DJ Hyde in CCW had been wanting to bring her in for a while, but hadn't really come up with a role for her yet, because she is something special, and he didn't want to bring her in just kind of like on a whim and just throw her into something. She wanted it to have meaning. And at this point in my CCW career, we had been entertaining the idea of turning me heel. And to be honest, this is kind of going a little bit of a backstory, but I had been in talks with Ring of Honor at this point about signing, and the booker at that time, Adam Pearce, was 100% sold on making me a heel. And so DJ at that point needed all the ammunition he needed to say, okay, we're going to turn Cole heel in CZW. And then when Hunter took over and had me work babyface, that didn't really affect anything because we had already gone into the process. But when I turned heel in CZW, DJ wanted an added dynamic to my character, and we had both sat down and tried to come up with ideas, and we knew he wanted to bring Mia in, and I said she'd be perfect. So DJ decided to put us together, and it's been an absolute blast. Like, me and her have a really good chemistry performing together, and it's been a lot of fun. I think 2011 will be a great year for the both of us. And yeah, she's a girl who absolutely I could see ending up on mainstream television for sure. I know Ring of Honor is interested in using her more. Yeah, she's great. She's doing an awesome job.
Yeah, she's quite the looker.
So jumping ahead a bit, tell us about the day you actually got the ROH contract.
Yeah, sure. Well, I had been I'd been sending emails to Ring of Honor for a while. I'd been going to the Ring of Honor school where Delirious ran the school, and Delirious was awesome with me. He helped me out so much and let me train down at the school. And I had asked him when I felt comfortable and felt ready, hey, can I come help set up and just do whatever and maybe look for an opportunity for a pre-show match? And he said, absolutely. So I would come and help set up. And the first couple times I didn't get anything. But then eventually I got a pre-show opportunity. And, you know, they were okay. My first pre-show was actually at the first HDNet TV tapings. So the last thing that I think they were focusing on was the pre-show talent. It was more to get the cameras ready and just to kind of get everything set up, because it was a big deal for Ring of Honor. It was national television. So I completely understand why we were the last things on their mind. But I just stayed on them. I kept pestering ROH, and I kept pestering them, and I kept looking for opportunities. And I had been sending Adam Pearce a lot of matches. And I was hearing the same kind of response, like, yeah, it's good, you know, just come down and do another pre-show match. But it wasn't really getting me anywhere. So I thought, this isn't working. I got to do something else to get his attention. So I said, I'm going to start sending him promos. And I sent him a couple promos, and that caught Adam Pearce's attention. He really, really liked my promos as a heel, because Adam Pearce is a guy who's phenomenal on the microphone. So he said, okay, I want you to come down to the Philadelphia TV tapings, and on the pre-show I want you to cut an in-ring promo and go as long as you need to. So that was nerve-wracking, but exciting at the same time for him to have that faith in me and just have me try that out at the TV tapings. That went really well. The match went really well. I wrestled a guy named Mike Bennett, who's the prodigy now in Ring of Honor, who also signed with Ring of Honor. And just from that weekend, I talked to Kerry, and Kerry said, how would you feel about us offering you a contract? Would you be interested? I said, yeah, absolutely. So I signed the contract then. I think it was August 23rd, 2010, I signed. And then there was a little bit of a – it was a little nerve-wracking at first, because when Adam Pearce got let go, I wasn't sure
if plans were going to change, because obviously the booker and the guy with the vision, when he's not there anymore, being a guy who was just being brought in, I thought, oh, well, this could be it for me. And then I found out Delirious was taking over, and he had called me and said there were absolutely plans for me. He wanted me as a babyface, though, which I was all for. And, yeah, Delirious has done just a phenomenal job since then. But that was a really, really surreal day for me, though, for sure. Like, it's cool to have a piece of paper that you can sign, and you can say, I am a professional wrestler, because it says so right here. I get a check from Ring of Honor. It's a really cool thing to say that this is my job. This is what I do. So I'm very, very privileged to be able to do that. Absolutely.
Now speaking of Delirious, I once interviewed him a while back, and he did about an hour totally in character, and you had talked about going to the school, and I remember seeing some online video where he was basically in character doing the school, and I got to ask you, when he is teaching the school, is he Delirious or is he Hunter?
Oh, he's Delirious. He's Delirious the whole time. The mask is on. It's really, really hard to understand him sometimes. But he's so good at what he does that you can kind of pick up on what you're supposed to do and what he's trying to teach and stuff like that. But, yeah, he's Delirious the whole time.
That's cool.
Go ahead, Craig. Okay, I was going to say, right now you're wrapped up in kind of a little feud on HDNet with the Bravado Brothers, and gosh, I think it was 2 weeks ago you guys came out for the opening match on the show, and me sitting in my living room, I'm like, oh, okay, and you guys had a heck of a match, and the Bravado Brothers got over, and they cut this amazing promo in cardigan sweaters talking about Grandmama, and you and Kyle just click. Is that the plan going forward? You guys are going to feud for a while, or is there some singles matches for you?
To be honest with you, I'm not really sure as far as what the direction is. I know there for a while they were having us wrestle the Bravados. It's kind of like a showcase deal, and the Bravados are super talented young guys who, when given the opportunity, will deliver, and I think they showed that with the matches that me and Kyle have had with them. We wrestled them in Mississauga, Ontario before, which actually started the whole feud. And we wrestled them in Louisville. We wrestled them in Charlotte. Yeah, they're a heck of a young team, but I'm not too sure what our plans are as far as if we're going to feud with them or not. I know me and Kyle completely want to keep having matches that hopefully eventually lead us to a tag team title shot. And I know the Bravados are, you know, planning to do the same thing. So I'm sure we're going to cross paths again. But it'll be interesting to see the direction as far as where Ring of Honor takes not only me and Kyle, but the Bravado Brothers too.
Now, you had done some work with Kyle before. And, you know, when you came into ROH, you kind of came into ROH as your, you know, on your own. My question is, how did you guys end up becoming a team? Whose idea was that, or how did that come about?
That was Delirious's idea. And because I think they signed, it was me, Kyle O'Reilly, and Mike Bennett. They signed us all in one swoop. And they still weren't sure exactly what they wanted to do with me or Kyle. So then they decided, they said, well, this is just what I'm assuming, is they've seen me and Kyle wrestle together as opponents, and we had good matches as opponents. They thought, oh, they could probably be a pretty good young team. And this is speaking for me, and I've spoken with Kyle about this too, and this is true. When me and Kyle both came in and we both found out that we were going to be paired as a team, we weren't upset because we were happy for the opportunity, but both of us preferred at that time to be singles wrestlers. So we were both kind of like, we're going to be a team together. Okay, or I would have rather wrestled you. But then we had a couple tag matches together, and we're like, oh, wow, this is really clicking. This is a lot of fun. So now we completely embrace the team. Like, I am 100% down for teaming with Kyle. And I really think that we're going to have a nice little run as a tag team. So, yeah, it's just been an absolute blast, and I look forward to the kind of matches that we'll have and what we can bring to the table in 2011 and beyond for not only ROH but for other promotions too.
I got to say, I watched the iPay-per-view, and that opening match that you guys had with the with the Automatic Express. Yeah, I always forget what their tag team name is, but they were that was such a fantastic match, man. It really blew me away. I had seen the first match I had seen with you guys was the Grizzly and Seidel match, and I thought you guys were pretty good. But when I saw that the high pay per view match, it just blew me away at how awesome that match was. What are your thoughts on that match?
Oh, well, first of all, thank you very much. I remember me and Kyle, actually, this was we did sign at this point. We had Evolve 5, me and Kyle did, and that was the same day as Glory by Honor in New York City for ROH. So me and Kyle did Evolve 5, and we decided that we were going to take a train and go up and just hang out with the guys for Glory by Honor. And me and Kyle got there, and we watched most of the show out in the crowd, and we were just standing there watching this show, and we were blown away too. And I remember looking over at Kyle and going, man, we need to be here. We need to wrestle in this building. He's like, I know. I'm like, and I said to him, man, I said, hey man, I'm like, I bet me and you were going to open Final Battle. He's like, yeah, we can dream, right? And we did. And the way things were going was that we weren't going to end up on Final Battle. But because actually what happened was, Survival of the Fittest happened in Detroit, and Eddie Edwards got hurt, so they had to change the card around, because initially me and Kyle were supposed to wrestle the All Night Express in Mississauga, but Eddie Edwards got hurt, so me and Kyle ended up wrestling the Bravados instead of the All Night Express. So therefore, the Kyle O'Reilly, Adam Cole match with the All Night Express got moved to a later date, and there were no other openings other than Final Battle. So Delirious went with it and said, okay, we'll have to do it at Final Battle. So it was kind of crazy how it all worked out, that we were fortunate enough to get to open Final Battle. But it was weird. Like, normally with a match like that, I would have been just an absolute bundle of nerves and just a complete mess inside. But for whatever reason, I was just really, really excited, and I wasn't nervous at all. I was just so happy to get to open the show and open the pay-per-view for ROH in the Manhattan Center in New York City against two guys like Kenny King and Rhett Titus, who are tremendously talented. At that point, me and Kyle had become really, really good friends. My mother and my girlfriend were in the audience. It was just such a cool, like one of those like bucket list things that happened. So I just had the absolute time of my life, and the New York crowd was incredible. They were outstanding. I've never seen a crowd react that way for a match that I've been involved in, for as loud and as long as they did. So it was just a very, very cool thing to be a part of, and something that I will hold near and dear to me for a long time to come, for sure.
For my final question, you brought up Survival of the Fittest, and they put you over Steve Corino in the first round. I have mad respect for Steve Corino. He's just an amazing worker. Tell us a little bit about Steve.
Steve is just an absolute tremendous human being to be around, not only in the locker room but on road trips. He's a guy that you can talk to about not only wrestling, but just about anything. I worked with Steve a couple years ago now in Allentown for the Samoans. And me and Steve got to go like 25 minutes, and he taught me so much in that 25 minutes. And ever since then has just been so instrumental in helping me out in my career with any questions that I have, anytime I need anything, Steve is always there. And kind of like what I said about Sabian earlier with Steve. Steve is like that with everybody. He has no ego whatsoever. If anything, I think he's too humble sometimes. He is just so good at what he does. So any time I get to get in there with Steve, it's a dream come true for me. It really is. Like getting to wrestle Steve in Allentown was really neat, but getting to wrestle Steve in Ring of Honor was like a whole other deal for me. So Carino is a guy that I can call a friend and am just thankful to call him a friend, and a guy that a lot of young guys in the industry should look at as someone to look up to and learn from. And because Steve's right there, he'll teach anybody, he'll help anybody out, and just another awesome thing that I've got to experience since I've been with ROH is getting to wrestle Steve again for sure.
Now, I just have a couple questions here before we let you go. Real quick, we talked about Delirious being Delirious. We had Rip Titus on the show one time, and he pretty much was the Rip Titus you see on TV. Is that Rip 24/7?
Oh, yeah. Rip Titus is Rip Titus. So he's Rip the Threat. He's addicted to love inside the ring and outside the ring. Rhett's a great guy. He really is. But the ladies love him. He loves the ladies. And he's a character. He's a character, but a good guy.
Cool. And my final question is, you're very young in your wrestling career. I mean, you've been just doing it for a very short time. Where do you see yourself in 10 years? How confident are you to say that in 10 years you can say this about your career?
I have a belief that if you don't set your goals very high and you don't believe in yourself and you don't pretty much set unrealistic goals for yourself, you will you'll never achieve your goals and you'll never achieve your dreams. So my goals are very, very high for myself. So I force myself to train and prepare, assuming that I achieve those goals. I would love to one day make a living doing this. I would love to be able to wake up and get out of my bed and say that the reason that the house that's over my head and the food that's on my table and the car that I drive is all due to pro wrestling. I would love to be able to do that. I would love to travel overseas a lot more. I leave for England and Germany for a month tour on February 17th. I get back March 14th. I'm very excited about that. I really hope that things like that continue for me in my career. And I think any pro wrestler who says that they don't want to headline WrestleMania is just kidding themselves. So I think eventually that might be a goal of mine that absolutely is a goal of mine to be able to be a part of that someday. Because like I said, I want to set my goals as high as I possibly can. And just, that's the great thing about pro wrestling is you can never do it all. You really can't. I mean, there are guys who have done lots of great, great things, but there's always more to accomplish and more to go after. And that's just another reason that the industry is such a cool thing to be a part of. So, but we'll see. I mean, right now I'm happier than ever to be in Ring of Honor. And I'd love to see where Ring of Honor is going to be 5-10 years from now. So, yeah, I just want to keep doing what I love and loving what I do.
Cool, man. Do you have any shows or websites you'd like to plug before we let you go?
Sure. If anyone wants to get a hold of me, I have a Facebook, which is facebook.com/AdamColePro. And then if you want to follow me on Twitter, I also have a Twitter account, which is the same thing, twitter.com/AdamColePro. And I'm just getting started. It's like just now in the works. Is a YouTube channel, which is the same thing, youtube.com/AdamColePro, where I'm going to do some Q&As and upload some music videos and promote shows that I'm going to be on and stuff like that. But those would be the best way to reach me.
And, of course, you can catch Adam wrestling for Ring of Honor and check them out at ROHWrestling.com. Hey, I just wanted to wish you the best of luck in all your future – I don't want to say future endeavors because that sounds like I'm letting you go. But thank you so much for spending so much time with us, Adam, and best of luck to you. And hopefully you won't be that one-hit wonder that we talked about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it. And anytime you guys want to chat, you just give me a ring.
Will do. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you.
Cool, man. Have a good day.
Yep, bye.
Well, that looks pretty good. He was actually a really friendly guy. Just a real easy interview. That was actually pretty awesome.
Yeah, what a nice guy, man. You don't meet too many.
Now, if
Generico
teaching students in his gimmick, you know, when he's training them, couldn't that be like liability issues? Somebody gets hurt.
You mean Delirious? Yes.
I mean, you can't understand what he's saying, so somebody gets hurt.
I see that we have a caller on the switchboard here, so I think it may be our other guest here. So let me put him on the line. Caller calling from Skype or computer line. Who's this?
This is Dave Lagana. Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey. Hey, how's Dave? How you doing?
Oh, hello. Wow.
Sorry, of course, Dave didn't bother to write an intro for you this week, so I apologize
for
that.
It's okay. I blew the last one, so I might as well pre-blow this one without him having to do the work. So it's all good.
I didn't have any more drug mule jokes. I'm sorry.
Don't worry.
So this week you wrote an interesting column at IWantWrestling.com, and it's all about WrestleMania and the possibilities of Sting. Tell us about your blog this week.
Yeah, I was in Denver doing the final post-production for the final ROH shows, and I was like, oh, I'll watch Raw. You know, I have some time to kill. Prazak wasn't in yet, so I was watching it, and then in quote-unquote commercial time was that great now vignette that was three shots and a date. And I was just so, and you know, I was on Twitter talking to people, and people just go, was that Sting? You know, and I thought it was, you know, to come out of nowhere, because no one had been talking about him. Everyone kind of had been focused on Booker and Nash getting involved with WWE in the last week, and just people's imagination ran crazy with it. And isn't that what that's all supposed to be about? So I decided to write an article this week about, you know, what the story that's kind of been the Undertaker story and the story of this WrestleMania where, you know, as of this moment, well, especially as of now, we don't know, there's nothing on this WrestleMania that feels quote-unquote WrestleMania-worthy. And, you know, the idea of Sting versus Undertaker is probably the most WrestleMania-worthy quote-unquote dream match that there's been in a while. And, you know, and it's nice that there's no answers yet. No one knows if Sting signed. You know, I'm sure there'll be a new vignette on Monday. I'm sure there'll be, you know, another two new vignettes over the next few weeks until, quote-unquote, 221 happens. It reminds me a lot of when we did the Jericho vignettes, when he was coming back, which they stretched out far longer than it probably should have. I mean, it went from October all the way through December. At least this has a shorter build, and hopefully they've kind of learned from that. So it was really intriguing, and I think people really responded to the blog, which, you know, was kind of the reveal that Sting's was in talk with WWE back when I first got there in 2002 to debut at the WrestleMania that Hogan and Rock wrestled. And that would have been, you know, another part of that history, Johnny, that kind of went down that day. So that's what the blog was about,
now,
and I think, you know, people have responded, so.
Now, what exactly is the date? Is that Hell in the Cell, or is that?
It's the Monday after Elimination Chamber, which is perfect.
Okay, the Monday.
I mean? It's in Fresno, just up the road from here, in lovely Los Angeles. And, you know, it's Raw. That's where everyone goes, wait, Taker's not on Raw. You know, there's all these interesting things, but it's the first Raw after the last pay-per-view before WrestleMania. And if you're going to, quote-unquote, kick off your biggest WrestleMania angle, I don't say it has to be, but if it's not Sting and if it's just Taker returning to go against the core, Taker's returned 15 times in the last 10 years. You know what I mean? Someone's either burning him or, you know, if it's just that, I think that can lead to a lot of disappointment, which I think they know they can't have any disappointment with whatever this is. They wouldn't have put the time or effort into that vignette. So.
Yeah, and how huge would it be if they brought back Taker and Sting in the same evening? How big the hype would be to Mania after that?
There's no angle that has to be done. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
They have to go face-to-face, and that was, and it's almost, not that it was a mistake, but the Hogan Rock stuff, you know, this is where, you know, sometimes they try to do too much, and, you know, I'm guilty of it as well, to being part of that machine, but Hogan and Rock went face-to-face in Chicago, and that was like my second day in the company, and that still is one of my most favorite things I ever was a part of. You know what I mean? Just to be in the building when they go face to face and agreeing to a match, and that was it. And Rock giving one rock bottom. You know what I mean? Then they laid him out. They put him in the ambulance. They run it over the semi. You know what I mean? Like, the match was made when they shook hands, went face to face. You didn't need all the angles. This is simply two people want to fight, and that's all you need to do. So.
Definitely.
Yeah. Considering all the money I'm spending on this weekend, I'm kind of hoping that kind of turns out to be the main event.
You're not the only one.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a really fun weekend. I'm debating if I'm going to stay for the actual WrestleMania event myself, you know, because I'll be at the two Ring of Honor shows. But, you know, I think that would be a spectacle. I mean, short of Goldberg, which if Goldberg hadn't gone to WWE whenever, like, you know, 7 years ago, like, I think it could have been matched, but the fact that kind of the blooms off the rose with that one, Sting's the only, quote-unquote, new thing that could be there. So, you know, it's not cheap to go to WrestleMania, I'll just say that. So it's better be worth it.
It certainly is not.
Nope.
Earlier this week, you had talked to me possibly, I don't know if this is all kayfabe or if I need to keep my mouth shut, possibly running a couple of those ROH shows on iPay-per-view.
Yeah, Kerry had announced that those shows would be on iPay-per-view. I think we're still working out the details of how it'll all happen. I think also we want to get through the first, you know, the next one in Chicago on February 26th. But yeah, one or both or both together will be on iPay-per-view, which I think is a neat kickoff. Kind of, if you can't be at WrestleMania, you know, you can kind of get your WrestleMania weekend started early. And, I mean, you guys were there last year. I mean, you remember how the crowds are at those shows. It's something special. And it's a nice kickoff to the weekend. You know what I mean? Because you just go WrestleMania and, you know, it's cool, but your schedule's amped. You want to see some action. And it's, you know, the cards are good. You know, the action's good. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's good to be around fans from different areas, too. It gives you guys all something to do. It gives me something to do, too, because I've, you know, it is, you know, and Hall of Fame's always not for everybody, you know, but this year I think it'll be pretty cool. So,
yeah.
It's a really full weekend, so.
And then the shows are going to be at freaking Center Stage. I mean, I'm just excited about just going to Center Stage.
Yeah, I mean, me too. I grew up with, you know, WCW Saturday Night, and, you know, so much history kind of went down there. You know, not some of it not so memorable, some of it pretty memorable. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a great venue. I'm looking forward to producing inside there because, you know, next to the ECW Arena is probably one of the more famous, regular TV buildings besides Hamburg, Pennsylvania, and, you know, Allentown and all the places that Vince used to do TV. And the Manhattan Center, you know what I mean? I've got to do Manhattan Center, got to do the arena, you know, all the places I went work WWE. So, like, you know, Center Stage, sort of the Omni, which is now the Phillips Arena, you know what I mean? There's not many, you know, firsts left. So but it should be fun.
Now, if you said they might do both of them, now would they be doing them back to back, like Friday and Saturday, or would one of them be taped for a later date?
No, they'd be live. You know, I mean, Kerry announced we're doing both. It's just how the presentation of both will go. But no, they're live. Wrestling's a live sport. You know, anytime we can bring it to it live. You know, I was thinking about this today, and I'll probably be writing this, you know, this weekend with the Super Bowl. So I'm trying to figure out what I want to write about for the Super Bowl weekend. I missed the Super Bowl last year due to the lovely snowstorm we got in Philly, and I was flying back. My original flight got me in, like, you know, just as, like, 2 hours before the Super Bowl. I missed the whole Super Bowl last year, and I tried to DVR it, but you know how hard it is to not hear about the Super Bowl when you're traveling? Like, the pilot would chime in with scores and, like, things like that. It's just, you know, it's just silly at this point. You know what I mean? If you have the ability to do something live, do it live. That's how it is. So again, you can't hide from the Super Bowl, and hopefully, you know, it's trying to hide from WrestleMania results. You know, and you're gonna somebody's gonna text you. Someone's gonna be that. You know, that's just the age we live in, and you know what I mean. You just kind of have to embrace it. So,
now Gabe tried this idea of doing two shows on a weekend last week. Do you have any idea how he did with those, or if he made any cash, or if it was well received, anything?
I don't know because we were. I was at the other big wrestling event that weekend, or one of the other big ones. I mean, it was actually like last weekend was probably the most. I would call it the most energizing wrestling and weekend in a long wrestling weekend in a while. Just between, you know, Gabe ran, Ring of Honor ran Friday in L.A., PWG ran Saturday. There was that big Lawler show. Plus TNA had big houses, and WWE had the Rumble, and you know, and then you know, I mean, it was. It was actually felt good to be a wrestling fan last weekend. So, you know, I'm not sure how he did, but it's, I applaud them trying. I know they were working on something on their own. I don't endorse trying to do anything with 1 week's promotion, you know what I mean, as far as getting attention on a show. But, as long as they didn't lose their shirt, you know what I mean, I don't know what they paid for that building or such, but, you know what I mean, running in New York is not cheap. But, you know what I mean, if it made them, you know, profitable for the weekend, great, because, you know, I think it's good to have a product out there. Just I'm concerned about overkill of the concept. If, you guys could run an internet pay-per-view out of your house if you wanted to tomorrow, but, you know, does anybody buy it, and does it get to be oversaturation? It just comes down to quality, which I think, you know, and are going to hear the jokes, but as far as the Ring of Honor internet pay-per-views have always been quality. But the ROH shows have been quality. We haven't had a quote-unquote bad one. You know, people will complain about small technical issues, but, you know, match quality, show quality, and importance quality, I think those shows have kind of all stood out. I mean, considering those are our best-selling DVDs, you know, of the last year, all of the internet pay-per-views are the best-selling DVDs because they're important, which shows, hey, people bought it on internet pay-per-view, you know, on an average of 1,500 per show, and yet the DVDs are still selling better than the shows the year before that didn't have internet pay-per-view, which shows the when a show is important, when it's live, people will care about it.
Not to mention, guys just want to, you know, they know how good the show was, and they saw it live, and I got to have this for my collection, kind of a thing.
Yeah. And it's I mean, I know there's some other companies trying internet pay-per-view, and it's, you know, it's the same equivalent of running a show. It's got to be something people want to see. Just the fact that someone can watch it, you know, it's good. You know what I mean? Like, I think everyone should try, but it's not just running a show. It's how you market it. What is someone going to buy that they're not going to get somewhere else? Or, you know, if you're going to spend, you know, time in front of your computer, you know, what are you going to spend 3 hours, 4 hours, 6 hours, you know what I mean, doing? You know what I mean? Like, it's, and spending money, you know what I mean? The people buying, as I used to joke about our first one, you know, people's usual video buying habits on the computer usually involve naked people. So, sure. You know, this is a little different. So, which I didn't watch that girls' pay-per-view. Yeah, it's a little different. So,
a little bit more clothing. Not much.
Yes.
Hey, Katrina, you've been quiet for a while. You got any questions?
Yeah, one of the big things last weekend was the return of Kevin Nash and Booker T at the Royal Rumble. And I was wondering, was there ever a case in WWE when you were there where they started pushing angles on TV before they had the guys sign the contracts?
No. Directions were started with, like, I mean, not that this was a contract issue. Maybe it was. You know what I mean? Like, when Brock Lesnar took out Hulk Hogan, you know, there was always a plan to do a rematch at some point, but you know what I mean? Like, business wasn't dependent on it. We didn't cut a video saying that this match would happen on a Thursday like TNA did, showing off these guys. You know what I mean? So, no, I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, no, because usually we wouldn't. I mean, it'd be the equivalent of us starting the Trump angle and not having a contract with them. You just, you know.
You just don't do that.
It. I mean, I don't know if, you know, I watched that show, and, you know, they turned four heels at once. One, you know, of all the three guys they – four of the guys they turned, one probably should have turned, you know, for Impact. It was just AJ, you know, because, you know, I actually enjoy Frankie Kazarian as a heel much more than a babyface. Then, you know, Beer Money is a great heel team. So, I don't know, everybody's shades of gray there, I guess, which, you know, that's the other article I'm probably going to write either tonight or tomorrow. Like, who is the hero of TNA? Who should they push for the next year? You know what I mean? Who would be the guy? Promises everyone's turned 100 times. It's kind of NWA 1987, 88, where everybody was kept turning, and it kind of just muddied the waters. You know, you got to know who you have to believe in. Like, who's their hero? Who's their good guy? I mean, it should be Ken Anderson, their new champ. But
I say they go. They bring back Curry Man and go with that.
Have you seen the Curry Man appearance at Cabana's live podcast taping? Curry Man showed up and he spoke of toilet etiquette in Japan. It's quite an interesting video. It's on my site, iwantwrestling.com. It's part of the Cabana Helms video teaser for his podcast. But yeah, Curry Man did show up, and he is there as not Curry Man's there, but Suicide returned, so maybe Curry Man can return as well. So
sure. If I was them, I'd have him work every other match, to be honest with you.
Yeah. It's Curryman and Suicide are great talents. You know, they share a lot of the same technical skills. So, you know, what I mean, I'd love to see them in a match someday. So.
Now, speaking of some of the articles that you've had on your site, I got to ask you, what's the deal with the clowns?
You don't like the clown?
No, I'm just wondering, I just was reading that you tweeted that you saw them and they tweeted back to you.
Yeah, I've talked to the clown before. I think I'm insane with this website. Prazak was saying, what the hell are you doing? I can't compete with the guys that get the scoops. I don't want to do scoops. So I'm almost looking at this website as a late night talk show. You know what I mean? With some opinion and stuff, but I want to do things that, you know, make you laugh. And the idea of, I would like to, and I haven't met him, but you know what I mean? I'm going to, you know, hopefully he's got a video camera and send him out to shows to do interviews. I think it's hilarious. You know what I mean? The guy sat front row. A couple of my friends were at the show, hung out with him, said he was very cool. So I was like, hey, do you want to do reports, take pictures? You know, it's like a late night talk show. We don't know what we're gonna get, but you know, the site is kind of morphing every day. We're coming up with different content for it, and we're gonna start running video and audio probably in the next week or two. And I just want it to be entertaining. I want people to enjoy wrestling and not be so serious and not be so negative about it. You know, the things that we like. You know, we've done some, you know, photo captions of the day, like the kid who put his head in two signs on Raw, and he was on camera twice. You know, like the ridiculous things you catch on television. You know, or Cabana looking like he was riding Todd Sinclair like a dog. You know what I mean? Like, this is a funny business, and it should be entertaining most of all. And that's what I think we want out of wrestling. And it's the whole mission statement of the site is, you know, what do you want, and are you getting it? And if not, we'll give it to you. And, you know, we're going to have a lot of fun. And that's the thing is, like I said in the article about, you know, ROH, if I don't do another wrestling television show ever again, I'm so happy that I got to do that one, you know what I mean, to kind of finish my wrestling television career. And if the site is all I ever do in wrestling again, then that's all I ever do, and at least I'll have fun with it. And you know, it's been a lot of fun, and I've talked to a lot of the former, you know, WWE creative writers who are now on the outside, and we're probably all just going to kind of get together and do little podcasts and, you know, have fun with it, because when you work there, it's not fun. You know what I mean? And I only can imagine what's going on in TNA, if that's fun or not. You know what I mean? I've never worked there, so I don't want to say that. But you know what I mean? We like to have fun with it. We all like this for a reason. You guys do this show for a reason. You don't do it because you're getting rich on it. I see how Ed dresses, so. You know, Ed's keeping all the bling money for himself. But you know what I mean? Like this should be fun. I mean, you know, it's kind of on the other side of, you know, I've been doing this now 10 years, at least wrestling, and it's just, I want it to be fun, and I want to have fun with it, and I like helping the people that, you know, I've been friends with or, you know, really like in the business. You know, I mean, that's what was, you know, getting to spend the last 2 years with Dave Prazak after I knew him 15 years ago has been fun. You know what I mean? Like, Dave and I were friends when we were 17, 18 years old, and now we're working together, you know, in our 30s. And it's just been fun, and I can't say fun enough. Although there's Wampus Cats. Have you guys watched the Wampus Cats video with Mike Hogwood? Have you seen that?
No.
It's on there's a story on Dave and Hog. I think it's called Wampus Cats, Porpoises, and Tough Chicks. There's a video of Mike Hogwood from, it's got to be in the 80s, about this band who was on a morning talk show, and they were playing a live song, but it was on a record player. So you could hear the needle scratch, and it was run at the wrong RPM. So the band is singing in slow motion. It's amazing. Hilarious. You have to watch it, because it's Mike Hogwood, you know, 20 years ago. And it's just one of the funniest things. That's exactly what I want to put on the site. You know what I mean? I'm not going to have scoops on who Matt Hardy's dating. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to have things that are, you know, make me laugh and hopefully make everybody else laugh. So please go there. It's been on for the last couple of days, but I think it's like Porpoises, Wampus Cats, and Tough Chicks. So it's a story about Shimmer and Mike Hogwood. So a Wampus Cats and the Gold Boat is on there, because I know you guys love the Gold Boat. So, you know, it's a fun little article. And it's got the history of me and Dave, you know what I mean, for the last, you know, 15 years. So.
And if you're going to do a site about weird and crazy and strange things in professional wrestling, maybe you could call it After Dawn with Dave LeCann.
as opposed to After Dark.
Brian's already got the market cornered with that, and I don't want to try and do what WrestleCraft's doing. You know what I mean? You know, I've always been a big fan of WrestleCraft, and I don't want to do that either. So, but this site's me. You know what I mean? Like, and you know, I've had a lot of people, you know, write me and go, "Wow, this isn't what I expected from you," because all I thought was what I knew about you from WWE. But what you knew about me from WWE was all from erroneous news sources saying how stupid I am. Well, I'm pretty stupid, but this is a different kind of stupid you're going to see on the website. So.
One thing I don't understand is you say you want to have a fun, funny website, but yet you don't want to talk about Matt Hardy's personal life?
No.
Funny and train wreck are two different things.
I'll just direct you to his Twitter. That's all. You know what I mean? I'm sure everything you need to know about Matt Hardy's on his Twitter page. I mean, literally everything. It's like those people that tweet about when they go to the bathroom. Like, there's certain things that shouldn't be tweeted about. Like, I don't Twitter about like my personal life. I don't Twitter about my friends and my friends' kids. You know, like my Facebook's my Facebook. The people who are on my Facebook are there for a reason because I trust them with personal information about my life. My Twitter is just. It's business, and it's my love of wrestling, and it's everything that I find funny in the world. And you know what I mean? And that's what the site is now, too. You know, and there's a line, you know what I mean? This is all public. This is all out there for you, so this is how I publicly feel. If I don't like something, I'm going to say it. If I love something, like this Sting video, hopefully it's Sting. If not, you know, if someone's like, it's Tyler Black. I hope it's Tyler Black, you know what I mean? That'd be awesome, but I really don't think so. I don't know about site traffic, but you know what I mean? On my little site, you know what I mean? That's the best 2 days I've done, you know what I mean, the 3 weeks, and people are interested. And then when people are interested, you need to capitalize. If it wasn't Sting, they better be calling him. You know what I mean? They better be, like, chasing him down and stuff. So.
Let me get this out of the way real quick. Everybody, you can always download and stream our show at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. So always check out angrymarks.com. Couture, go ahead and do your plug real quick.
Yeah, Pro Wrestling Flashback with me and Sinbad. It'll be coming back sometime next week. Don't know what day, don't know what time, but it'll be on the air. So listen.
That's a heck of a plug.
Different okay. Batman channel, different Batman time. So.
Everybody check out David again at iwantwrestling.com and got some good stuff up there. Check it out.
I was going to say we have to ask about you have to tell us about the last day of the last TV taping and all the stories that women are involved in that show.
Oh, the last ROH weekend. It was it got off to a really 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 bad start on Friday. I don't even think I put this in the article, but you know what I mean. We had a. Just as we were first dark matches in the ring, the exterior lights around the ring and the entranceway lights went out. The generator went out. So we didn't know if we were going to be able to tape at all on Friday. And it was the last taping, and we knew we had 6 episodes to shoot. I called it the greatest set of heat to set up for the greatest comeback in the history of ROH TV because, you know, everyone's kind of morale was done, you know, that first day. Like, everyone was off because we had to wait 2 hours. The crowd was great, but then we lost them. So we came back Saturday, you know what I mean, everyone was energized and wanted to kind of take it home strong. And, you know, that last match, and I watched it on Monday or Tuesday of this week. And, you know, on tape it's great and the crowd reactions and, you know, when I see the final mix. But personally to be in that building where I kind of fell in love with wrestling the first time and, you know, to have gone back there to, you know, to produce wrestling after I was fired from WWE and to do a successful show that, you know, went on to be voted number one television wrestling show this past year. You know, and 6 people who I highly respect as wrestling talent to go out there and have a great match that, you know, to prove that the style works and that, you know, crazy booking doesn't work as well as just simple wrestling. Like, that's what was important to me. And like I said, if I never do another minute of wrestling television, I'm glad the last show I do is the one that airs on April 4th. And, you know, it's a testament to the guys, a testament to the people that, you know, believe in the show at HDNet. To let us do it the way we wanted to, and then to let us do it for the whole 2 years. They never meddled. They just let us do the show we wanted to do, and it's a good show. You know what I mean? Like, you can complain here or there about small little things, but it's a good wrestling show that is different than everything else that's on the market. And that's all we set out with it. It's not It's not supposed to have the production values of WWE. It's not supposed to look like we're in a 10,000-seat arena. It's supposed to be this little underdog company with guys that will be the stars of this business in the next 5 years, giving you shows that they're going to get, you know, kill themselves with. There was no Bryan Danielson and the Bella Twins on the ROH show. You know what I mean? Like, this is how people are supposed to be. This is who they really are. It's as real as it's going to get with pro wrestling. And that's, that last show to me is as real as it's going to get because, you know, it could be the end of it. It was for me, the company's going to go on, and I'm still going to be involved in the company. But as far as television, until there's another deal, I'm so proud of it, and I'm proud of everybody that was involved in it.
Good on you.
But aren't you doing work with the NWA TV show in California?
Yeah, I'm still doing work with that, and it's, you know, that's fun because it's like one day a month, and you know, I actually just put, if you can't see the show in LA, I put that on the site as well. Find a way to embed it. It's a good show. It's a fun show. It's a nice outlet for guys. You know, we're trying to make it as big as possible. You know, being on an over-the-air station here in LA is huge. You know, it's got a huge potential audience, and the audience here grows every week. And it's good, and it's just different wrestling. It's getting people have a different voice, and that's, you know, Booker was on commentary tonight on SmackDown, and he's a different voice. All the business needs different voices, and if it's not mine, it's somebody else's. But it needs to be different than two people, two billionaires or two millionaires.
Couture, do you have any more questions, Couture?
No.
He's been very moody and quiet tonight for some reason, but.
And you're upset about Kelly's acting, right? Yeah, you're upset about Kelly's acting on SmackDown. It's some of the best acting I've seen in the last 20 minutes. So,
as long as she goes out there and just looks the way she does, I can look past the acting.
She did look the way she did. She's looked the same way for the last 3 years. It's just the acting is no better either. So.
She should have got a freaking Emmy for that Jerry Springer skit they did on Raw. I mean, that was pinnacle right there.
That was high quality. So awesome.
Dave, what other kind of articles do you have coming out pretty soon? I know you said you had a couple that you were working on.
Yeah, I was actually, and this will be kind of an interactive one. You know, with the Super Bowl on Sunday, I'm thinking about writing what would be the potential best super card you could ever see, just kind of matches that have happened in the past. You know, if you had, you know, the Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair, you know, Bret Hart, which, you know, if you're taking all their best matches and had to put one super card together, you know, kind of what would it be? You know, picking a Flair Steamboat match and, you know, Hogan Andre and, you know, and I don't know, pick, you know, if you had to make an 8-match card with the best matches in wrestling, this is part of your Super Bowl, if you had to show someone this is the greatest card in wrestling. So that's kind of what I'm playing with for Sunday as far as my Super Bowl of wrestling, you know, one never could happen, but, you know, this would be the one event that you wouldn't want to miss, you know, as far as overall things. I think that's what I'm going to do up on Super Bowl Sunday as far as an article. Because it's Super Bowl is something you look forward to. It's the biggest game of the year. It's the biggest whatever. You know what I mean? WWE has WrestleMania. I'm not sure what TNA has, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, ROH's final battle. You know, these landmark, you know, builds all year events are important. I think, you know, wrestling needs to remember that you can only have one WrestleMania a year. You can only have one Super Bowl of the year. If you had two Super Bowls, then the first one wouldn't have any value.
Did you hear the Dave and Bryan show where Dave was actually talking about how the guy who I guess plans all the different games every week was like he should be named like Booker of the Year?
Well, the NFL, they had some really good quote unquote booking this year, but they also know how to adapt and find stories inside of what they're doing. But the guys at ESPN did stellar with the games they picked this year. You know, they got, and there was like one or two stink fests, but you know, they had that amazing Eagles Redskins games where it was like a Madden football game where it was like 61-32, and you know, like Brett Favre's first trip back to Lambeau last year, it was the highest rated football game. It's all about what people want to see. You know what I mean? Like, it's finding, you know, really interesting matchups that, you know, that build and don't give everything away. You know what I mean? Those games are important, but also the NFL season is 17 weeks. Raw is 52 weeks a year. You know what I mean? Like, you can't have WrestleMania every week, even though they try, even though they fail, because you can't do it every week. You can't have a blowaway show every week. So.
Now, also this past weekend, I mentioned you were at the wrestling reunion. what can you tell us about some of the highlights for you at the show? I mean, at the whole weekend.
It was a really fun weekend. Being introduced by Jimmy Hart, which was one of the most wrong things that ever happened in my life. We did a Q&A session, and Jimmy Hart was the moderator. And that's just, the world is reversed. You know what I mean? Carrie and I took questions, and I wanted to ask questions of Jimmy Hart the whole time. You know what I mean? Like, to be around somebody that's legendary in the business was just, it was a crime, honestly. But it was fun, you know, to kind of be around. And I saw a bunch of people I hadn't seen in a while. And, you know, and it was cool to see Edge, and it was cool that Edge watched, you know, a majority of the ROH show, including the Haas and Benjamin versus Kings, you know, tag match. You know what I mean? Like, it's good that people who, I mean, he could have just gone to his room and not watched it, but he wanted to see his friends and wanted to see good wrestling. That was cool. It was cool to be at the convention, and I shot some stuff that I'm going to try and edit together tonight as well about some super fans that were at the show, including a guy, I don't remember his name, but he was in a Hulk Hogan shirt. It might have been the guy that Iron Sheik cut the promo on. That was at the convention, but this guy was insane, and he was, you know, interacting with Cabana and El Generico. I have some video of that I want to put up in the next day or two. It's fun to be around wrestling fans, and it was a good positive experience. The shows were good. I didn't go to the Saturday show because I knew it was going to start late, and it started later than I even thought. And then they were there till like 1:45, which, you know, is ridiculous. I don't. Nobody needs to be at a wrestling show at 1:45 in the morning. Unless it's in your bedroom, a different wrestling show. So, but anyway, but it was a great weekend. You know, I recommend that. You know, I'm not saying you should go to all of those conventions, but you know, it's fun to go to one of those every once in a while. And there's some good memorabilia, and it's cool to see the guys and interact with them. And it's just nice. You know, it's a good time. So,
yeah, they just announced that they're going to be in Atlanta for WrestleMania. They're going to be. I think it's going to be Sunday afternoon before WrestleMania, but the place is only like maybe a mile or two from the actual WrestleMania, so hopefully we'll be able to hit that up this weekend or that weekend.
That'll be a fun time, you know what I mean? Because Access is kind of
say it, Dave.
It's too sterile. You know what I mean? Like, you wait in line for autographs and you see Triple H up there, but when you get up to the front, it's the Brooklyn Brawler. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you don't know what you're gonna get, which, you know, and there's nothing against the Brooklyn Brawler, but he's the Brooklyn Brawler. So he cuts a hell of a pre-tape, though, I'll just say that. But the ROH shows that you go to and all this stuff, it's all good. You know what I mean? Like, you get a chance to interact with the guys. I know last year at WrestleMania we did some meet and greets with a couple of the shows, which were nice. They want to feel like these people are real, and they are. You know what I mean? These conventions are a good chance to kind of see that and meet other fans. Because before there was the internet, before there was Twitter and Facebook and all this other stuff, you only met fans at the conventions because you felt like an idiot who lived in your basement, which you may still be an idiot and live in your basement, but at least now you can meet people, you know, and then discuss the sport. You know, I met Dave Prazak on Prodigy back in 1991. You know what I mean? And you know, Bob Ryder was on there, and Dave Shearer and Mike Johnson and all these people I've known for 20 years, you know, it still was a closed environment, but at least now you can kind of get out and meet people, and it's good. So,
very cool.
Oh yeah. I mean, I can't wait for WrestleMania, but
I was going to say, I feel really sorry for Dragon Gate again this year. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I know they're running shows and at least they're not running against the ROH shows. I think they're running Saturday after the ROH show, and then they're running Sunday morning. And, you know, it's good. There's wrestling the whole time you're there. You know what I mean? Everyone has a choice of what they want to do. Is there a little oversaturation point? Of course. Like, I think someone asked, TNA should run that weekend. No, they shouldn't. No. We get enough TNA on Thursdays. You know what I mean? There's plenty. There's plenty of wrestling. You know what I mean? There comes to be a point where you have enough. It's, you know, how much rice can a Chinaman eat? But I don't know. I've seen enough. That's why I didn't go to PWG on Saturday. I was good. I've seen enough wrestling in the last couple of weeks that I was good for a while. You know what I mean? But, you know, I still love it, but it's just, there comes to be a point where enough's enough. So,
yeah. Right. Now, when you were on the show last time, we played like we did our segment where we played the classic clip and you kind of enjoyed it. Would you like to hear the clips that we have planned for this week?
Sure. I'd love to hear what you guys got.
Okay. Well, I don't even know what they are. We'll be right back.
everyone, and welcome to Trer's Classic Wrestling Clip of the Week.
Okay.
I want one of those intros next time.
I wasn't expecting that.
I want a great intro like that next time.
Yeah, this clip is from late 1988. The Midnight Express had just lost the World Tag Team Championships, and Bobby Eaton was injured in the match, and he can't wrestle, so Stan Lane is wrestling a singles match, and all of a sudden, Jim Cornette gets a phone call at the podium.
Okay, Jim Ross and Jim Cornette, I understand from our director, Tommy Edwards, that there is an important phone call that needs to be passed through here to the studio.
Hey, your wife can tell you to pick up some eggs and milk on the way back home, Tony, when you get off the air on national television.
And I had one of those radio contests. That'd be the song.
No, I apologize, but this is really, really out of the ordinary, but I do need to answer this, so just give me a second here.
Why couldn't you have done this during the rush to assassins? They don't have nothing.
They're telling me what to do. Please, hold on. Hello?
Somebody ought to tell you what to do.
Hello? Hold on. Jim Cornette, it is for you.
I don't have time to take phone calls on national television, Tony. Hang it up. I'll call him. Tell him to call me. What?
Hello.
What?
Who's this? Who's it really? You told you goes ever since you started this whole thing in the first place.
Anytime you want to show up, brother, we'll take you head on. We ain't scared of you. You're a jerk and those two are geeks. Okay, well, yeah, anytime, like I made the offer to you before, anytime you want to show up, we'll settle a thing once and for all. In the meantime, you know what this sounds like? Listen.
There. Who was that? Who was that?
Who was it?
Well, when they asked for Jim Cornette, it was an irate voice on. Who was that?
I ain't going to tell you who it was. It don't matter a bit who it was, but Jesus Christ. Jesus.
Wait a minute. There's Dennis Condrey. That's that other guy, that's Randy Rhodes. Or Condrey used to be with us. That's Paulie Dangerously. They don't even wrestle here. They don't even wrestle in the
They're
NWA.
Not a part of the NWA at all. And they have hit the ring. Oh, the phone on the forehead of Cornette. He just nailed him right in the face with that portable phone. These guys don't even wrestle here. Dennis Condrey used to be in the Midnight Express. And they go with a phone on the head of Sweet Stan. Cornette's busted open. Jimmy Cornette has been busted open. Cornette is bleeding. He can't even stand up. Bobby Eaton, they're working on his legs. They're double teaming Stan. Good Lord, look at Cornette. Oh, my God. He hit him right in the face with that telephone, and it busted him from ear to ear. And now Cornette's been brought back in the ring.
Somebody needs to get in here and stop this. Cornette is not a wrestler, and he's being held up at the mercy of Paulie Dangerously, Randy Rose, Dennis Condrey, men that we know call themselves the original Midnight Express, and they have literally burst on the scene here at the Superstation, and it is nothing but carnage in the ring. Unprovoked attack, and Cornette has been, this is brutality here, and the Rose and Condrey and Paul E. Dangerously. We got to get out of here. We've got to get out of town.
What do you think of that clip, Dave?
Can anyone name the color suit that Jimmy was wearing? I think it was a white suit. I think that I remember that angle. It's interesting to, and this is a good litmus test of how good an angle was. Without video, you could probably be picturing it in your mind the whole way. You know what I mean? I haven't seen that clip in forever. But, you know what I mean, like, that shows how good everybody involved was as far as their part. You know what I mean? Imagine that angle to running on a TNA or a WWE right now and how not good it would be. You know what I mean? They wouldn't, you know what I mean? Well, who's on the phone? Don't you want to tell them? Don't you want to wait for, like, 2 minutes till the suspense is up? You know what I mean? Like, it's actually one of my favorite angles that I've talked to both Jimmy and Paul about. And they were actually friends when they did that angle. Ironically enough, not friends so much anymore, but they were friends when they set that angle up, and you know they had a lot to do with it and stuff. And I actually have a picture. I need to find it. It's on one of my many hard drives. I have pictures and stuff that are pro wrestling related. And there's a picture of Jimmy and Paul laughing from OVW back when Paul was booking there. Have you seen that picture? It's a great picture.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I need to get that picture. That'll be, you know, they're both two of my favorite people to ever work with in the business, and they just hate each other. And that angle was real. You know what I mean? Like, everything about that angle played real, and that's why you remember it now. You know what I mean? Because even if those two were to face off today, everyone knows how much they hate each other and how good the business would be because it's legitimate. And that's what's important. You want them to feel like – that's what I don't – that's the one thing I don't like about UFC. When the guys say, I hate you, and then after the fight, they say, we just said that because we were trying to build up the fight. Who's fake? You know what I mean? At least – you know what I mean? At least we're a duck and we quack. You know what I mean? Don't, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, either you are or you aren't. Either you are real or you're not. And you're real 24/7, and the people who know. But when UFC says, we're building up the fight, then what did I just spend my money on? You know what I mean? Like those guys hate each other. And it came through, and to this day, they still hate each other. You know what I mean? Although I think he hates Vince Russo more. At least he respects Paul for Paul's brain, but you know what I mean? Like, you know, Jimmy's Jimmy. If you're around Jimmy, that's who he is. And it's funny, I don't got time to talk on the phone. He still says that when somebody bothers him with something stupid in the middle of a show that isn't necessary. So,
that yeah, one I think thing he still has that food with all the blood on it.
Was it white?
I don't think he ever got it cleaned.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like when Eddie Guerrero turned on Ray back on SmackDown, Ray wore white. I mean, you wear white, you know what I mean? It accentuates the blood. It's spectacular. So,
I think that's an angle that got a blood ban from TBS.
No, that might have been it, but then it was Dusty with the spike that
Spike got Dusty
the
fired.
Yeah, the
got
Spike
him,
got Dusty fired
as Booker. Yeah.
Yep. He doesn't like talking about that. I'll just say that. But here, I'll give a little story to you guys quickly that will be a future blog and is actually a legitimate story. Dusty Rhodes, I drive a lovely 97 Buick LeSabre, or as I like to call it, the chick magnet. And Dusty loves it because it's like a Lincoln Town car, and it was very comfortable. In the last, you know, year I was at WWE, we would drive together. So I guess it was like a card game or something, but I have lost that car to Dusty. I'm still driving it because I haven't got a new one yet. But when I get a new car, Dusty's going to fly to L.A., and Dusty and I are going to drive the Buick together back to Tampa. And it's going to be like a road trip, and it's going to be like the most fun week of my life, driving with Dusty Rhodes. And I have a picture of Dusty next to the Buick from when he was out here for the E3 convention. So, you know, Dusty is one of the best people to drive with. You know, I drove in a Blizzard with him, too. Not recently, 3 years ago after a pay-per-view and stuff. He's great to drive with, and he's the greatest storyteller I think I've ever been around. Just it may not be true or not, but goddamn it, it's entertaining. So
try to make your way through San Antonio on that trip.
you want to hang out with Dust?
Oh, hell yeah.
If you're buying, he's lying, so so. It's all good. Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a place. We're going to take Route 66 the whole way. He's already got the whole thing planned out with this Buick. He loves the car. He's like, that's mine. That car is mine. You don't lose it. It is in your will. If you die tomorrow, it comes to me. So the car is, I've willed my Buick to Dusty Rhodes. So.
Well, one last thing I wanted to bring up about the clip we just played is, you know, as much as people have maligned Tony Schiavone and talked about how bad he was and how horrible he was, he was actually pretty awesome in that clip.
He was produced, probably. You know what I mean? At WCW, no one seemed to be produced. I mean, I'm gonna dig my ears out, not my eyes out, when I'm listening to WWE, because the announcers spend more time arguing with themselves. You know what I mean? Like, Booker and Cole were arguing and about, like, oh, that's a great point you just made. Like, that doesn't get you the talent over, and their job is to get the talent over, and Tony knew how to get the talent over in that angle. So,
yeah,
same
it was
with Jim Ross.
Like, it was like that one Survivor Series where you had both teams there, and they had, like, the big SmackDown versus Raw main event, and it was just both teams just, like, bitching back and forth the whole time. You couldn't even hardly get into the match. It was horrible.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine on, like, a small occasion like that for a little bit. Like, I was always kind of my rule with Hog and Dave was you guys could snip at each other and do a little comedy at the beginning part of a match, you know, that first quarter – you know, right as the baby face is shining, and you know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, they can have that bit. But as soon as you're into the heat, it's got to be about what's the trouble, the good guy, and I hate saying baby face, I refuse to say it, that the hero is in, you know what I mean? It's like in the middle of a movie, the filmmaker yelling at a cinematographer and everyone in the audience hearing it. Like, what are you doing? That's not your job. Your job is to accentuate the people on the screen. It's not about arguing over who slept with whose assistant and whose bagel is bigger. You know what I mean? Like, your job is to accentuate what's going on in that ring, the story that's being told. And I just don't like it. I know that's probably what they're instructed to do, but that doesn't help the talent at all, which is what the point of it is. So.
Yeah, like, you know, back in when they have, like, Bobby Heenan or somebody like that as a color guy, he never sat there and said, this guy sucks, or this guy's terrible, or, you know, this guy has no charisma. He put him down, but he put him down in a way that it really didn't hurt him, like to the fans
positive
that were watching.
It's a positive negative, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Dusty Rhodes may not look like much, but you know what? He's probably the toughest guy I've ever beaten the crap out of. Do you know what I mean? Like there's so many different positives in there and negatives. You know what I mean? There's ways to do it. Go listen. I mean, like you said, go listen to Bobby Heenan, and you will learn everything you need to know on his commentary.
Yeah, when an announcer tells me that somebody sucks as a viewer, then if the person beats him, then they've beaten nobody, you know?
Right.
And they just beaten a geek that sucks, according to the commentator.
Yeah, it's like, hey, my wife gives a horrible blowjob. Well, one, thank you for sharing, and two, you married her. It's your wife. You know what I mean? Like, it makes you look bad. It makes the company look bad. You employ this friggin' idiot. He fights for you. Think Dana White's going to say, this guy sucks, buy this pay-per-view? No, he'll say it after and he'll fire the guy, but at least he'll, you know what I mean? So don't even start. You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense. It's like a movie, as a director, this is the worst movie ever made. Well, I'm not going to go see that. If he doesn't have any faith in it, walk up to a girl and say, I have the smallest dick you'll ever see. See if she wants to sleep with you. It ain't going to work. So. And trust me, that line doesn't work for me ever. So.
Well, I'm sure it would. We'll go ahead and play our second clip, and then we'll wrap up here.
Okay, the second clip is actually Dusty Rhodes in the angle that got him fired as the booker from PBS. It'll play.
Talk about the American Dream. Here he comes. Hey, Dusty, he was out here to tell
me something about this old Texas boy right here. You've been coming out here week in and week out. Talking trash. Let's don't wait till Chattanooga, Tennessee, Daddy. Let's don't wait till December the 7th. If you want some of the dream, the legend, if you will, in public, come on out and get it right now. Come on, baby.
All right. Dusty wants it. Dusty's an animal. If you want him, get in the ring. Here comes Animal. Why do you want him so bad? If you want him, go get him.
All right, it's going to break down right here. They're not going to wait till December the 7th in Chattanooga. Big Road Warrior Animal, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. This is like a street fight here. He misses with a clothesline. Rhodes to the far side, catches Animal with a clothesline. And he's trying to choke. Well, 2-on-1, Tony.
Well, you knew what would happen, Jim Ross. You knew good and well with all the Road Warriors here that it would be more. And all of a sudden, we see Animal. He is taking off one of the spikes. He is taking off a spike. And he has hit Dusty in the head with it.
He just hit Rhodes right in the face.
Oh, my good God. He's put it in his eye. He's put the spike in his eye.
He is jabbing him in the eye or has with the spike. He unhooked it from his shoulder pads or whatever it was. And he's jabbing in Dusty's eye. He's opened Dusty up.
Oh, my God. They're trying to put his eye out.
This is horrible.
Sticking that spike right in his eye. The Road Warriors. They are trying to blind him. They stuck that spike right in his eye. Rhodes is bleeding. But you can hear him screaming, Tony.
He is in a tremendous amount of pain. And, you know, Jim Ross, the first thing I thought of when I saw this was that maybe his great career has come to an end. We got to get out of this. We'll be right back.
What did you think of that, Dave?
Tony Schiavone had the same clothes. We got to get out of this. He probably was using that at home too. But no, I mean that's the angle that he supposedly got fired over. And you know, Dusty will tell you that he was just trying to draw money, baby. You know what I mean? Dusty is one of those people that doesn't like to be told what to do. And, you know, they told him no more blood. Okay, you want no more blood? Baby, here you go. Here's no more blood. So, you know, if he – and I wasn't there. I was 13 years old at the time, I think, you know, so I you know, wasn't in there. But if that's – it's a great angle. Problem is the Road Warriors, it's a lot like Ric Flair. You could never make them heels as much as you just love them too much. So I think I think they were heels for all of about, like, 2 months. And I think they turned right back because that was 88 – right, so they were back. They're baby faces very quickly again because people like them too much. You know what I mean? How can you hate ass kickers like that? You know what I mean? So it was a good angle, though. I mean, it's, you know, Dusty wore the eye patch. He looked like a pirate, but not like Paul Burchill kind of pirate. But
it was good.
So
I think he was on his way out of the. He knew he was eventually going to be on his way out of the company when Turner bought it. So maybe he was just, you know, just going to do what he wanted.
Right. So, I mean, he kind of, you know, he could read. That was also, I think, the time where he had booked Steiner to take the title from Flair. I think that's all that time period. And,
yeah.
So, you know, again, I don't remember much of it. Just remember the folklore that went around it. But that's the stuff that happens. You know what I mean? So it all happens, baby. It's all good. So
have you ever asked Dusty what he was thinking the moment that Vince handed him the polka dots?
No, I didn't want him to be angry at me. But, I mean, he knew from day one, you know what I mean, like from the Virgil stuff. You don't walk into that company. I mean, look at everybody that's ever challenged Vince that's ever walked into that company and how they've been treated. From Eric Bischoff to Paul Heyman to, you know, he's the alpha male. He's the king of the jungle. And when he has control of you, he's going to do everything to show everyone that he is right. Why do you think WCW failed when they reopened it? Why did ECW failed? Why did Goldberg not? You know what I mean? Anyone that was successful elsewhere, Dusty was a great booker that drew money against Vince. Did he outdraw Vince? No. No one's ever outdrawn Vince. But it's this weird complex he has. And maybe it's because he's never been successful at anything outside of wrestling that, you know what I mean, he must destroy everything around it. Don't you think the business would be better off if Vince were to, quote-unquote, invest in Ring of Honor and invest in TNA? And look at the success that they had with Booker and Kevin Nash coming back, because they hadn't been there in years. It's like the territories. If they were to be successful and bring guys, shuttle guys in and out, they'd be fresh again. People are already speculating that Kurt Angle's coming back in August because his contract is up, and that already probably would be a big return because he hasn't been there in 4 years, 5 years, how many years it's been. You know what I mean? So, like that's the polka dot in a roundabout way. You know what I mean? Vince likes to show up that he's the best, that he's the man. So
well, let me ask you, like, you know, we all know why he gave him the polka dots, was basically to humiliate him. But when Dusty goes out and gets it over, how does that change his Vince's opinion on somebody when someone, like, he does something to just totally humiliate them, and then the guy goes out willingly and does it and also just gets it over? Does that change Vince's opinion of the person, or how does his mindset work on something like that?
I mean, they think he sees when someone perseveres. It's kind of, you don't sell it, you know what I mean? And Bischoff was really good at that, too, you know what I mean? Like, between them having Mae Young put sardines in her crotch when she gave her the Bronco Buster at that Bad Blood pay-per-view to, you know what I mean? You just don't sell it, you know what I mean? He is who he is, and if that's how he gets his jollies, that's great. You know what I mean? He would say things to me, and I'd be like, okay. You know what I mean? Are you trying to get a rise out of me? You know what I mean? Like, you're the least creative person on this team. All right, well, you're paying me. So, you know, what's that say about you? You know what I mean? Like I will put the work in and outwork everybody and provide a product that I believe in. That's my work ethic. And if you want to cut me down because one foot's bigger than the other, which it isn't, but you know what I mean? If you're going to pick on things that don't matter, then that's you. That's you focusing on the wrong thing. Look at their TV show. They focus on things that don't matter, and they shine a light on things that don't matter. And it's his money. He's losing himself money. That stock is at whatever it is when it used to be at 17. You know what I mean? The pay-per-view numbers are down. Why? Because they focus on things that people don't want to pay for. So I'd rather make money. I don't know about you. I don't care about embarrassing anybody, but if I can make more money, I don't worry about embarrassing anybody. So.
Yeah.
We've actually gone on quite a bit here. We'll go ahead and wrap up. Katrina, did you have any more questions?
That was supposed to be Kurt Angle and Sting in 2002, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It was supposed to be Sting was going to come help Austin with the NWO stuff. It was actually, ironically enough, it was supposed to be in Providence, which is where the video aired. I only remember that because I was doing props at the time, and I had to order that really bad fake cinder block that they busted over Austin's knee. And I'll never forget that day. So it was Providence, yeah, that Sting was supposed to appear.
Yeah, it just seemed weird that Kurt Angle, he was like one of the, like in all the main events the previous year, and then he's just kind of like in a nothing match against Kane at this WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be Sting was going to come and do whatever he was going to do, and Kurt Angle was going to walk out. Who the hell do you think you are? That was going to be the setup for the match. So that was, I mean, that's what I remember. This was 9 years ago, so that's all kind of what I remember about it. So.
Cool. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap up. If you want to go ahead and plug your website one more time and your Twitter account before we go.
Sure, it's iwantwrestling.com, and the Twitter is iwantwrestling. It's just check it out. I mean, daily, I'm putting stuff up pretty much every day. Maybe six times a week posting, and just, you know, it's various fun things that maybe you didn't discover or know about wrestling that are fun. You can send feedback. My email address is on there. It's fun, and my Twitter is Twitter/Lagana, and I'll live tweet during wrestling and MMA and ridiculous things that are happening live because that's what Twitter was invented for, not sending pictures of your penis, Brett Favre. Oh, I don't think he Twittered it, but anyway. So it's kind of what I'm doing, so.
Okay. Oh, well, real quick, who are your picks for the fight tomorrow?
Oh, I didn't follow enough. I was actually going to go, but I watched the weigh-ins. I hope Vitor wins, but I know it ain't going to happen. So I don't really have picks for the other ones. I like MMA, but I'm not an enthusiast to know. I like watching it. I'm a very casual MMA fan. I like watching guys beat each other up because it's real. So that's what I like. I like the unpredictability of it. So. That's my prediction. Are you guys going or are you just going to watch?
I'm just going to watch it. I don't even think Contreras is going to watch it. But we also got the big game on Sunday, and Granny is taking predictions. So why don't you give us your prediction, and I'll pass it on to Granny.
I will go. The Packers have got all the momentum. But the Steelers just find a way to win. The Steelers are the Miz/ kind of champions. I think it'll be the Steelers. I mean, they got my vote after that year with the Cardinals, so I'm going to go with Steelers. So.
And what do you think the score will be?
Oh, 28-27. I will go with either a last-second field goal or a last-second touchdown because I like drama. So.
Okay. Cool. Cool, man. Well, thanks for joining us today. I know it was real last minute, but we really, really appreciate it.
Always here to talk about wrestling because it's fun. Remember, guys, it's fun. Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, that's why we do the show, because we like talking about wrestling. So we'll see everybody next week. I don't know if Craig has any guests lined up or not, but we will be back next week. So everybody join us then, and we will talk to everybody then. Read it.